You have the one group that says they trust in God and just hope you believe them. And that's it. They kind of live their life and go on. Then you have another group. They consciously trust in God as far as they're concerned, but what they're really doing is trusting in God to do what they think. Does that make sense? See, here's the problem we do with almost every topic out there. We distort it to fit us. We do it with love. Think about it. When you think of love, unless you were taught from the Bible, love is, you hear people go, well, I think love is as long as you have somebody's back no matter what, as long as somebody's there for you. It's that feeling you get inside when, and you can fill in the blanks. We do the same thing with peace. When there's nobody around getting on my nerves, when I have a nice day and it's going to be pleasant, and if the sun was out, you see where I'm going with this. We have our own definitions, and they're wrong. They're not just, you know, a little, this is not my opinion compared to God. Remember, he is the way. He's the truth. So understanding that he's the answer, when he gives us the answer, then we got to do it his way. So the same thing goes with trust. We usually trust in God based on us. In other words, we don't trust him. Okay? We need to take a deeper look into trust. What does that mean? Well, turn your bulletins over. And as you can see, starting off, I'm going to read this statement because this is a command that he gives us for life. And I want you to look at this because what it's implying to us is we have to trust. The only way to really live for God is in complete trust. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 24 says, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. So this first section is talking about where God puts you. Okay, he's saying where God puts you. That means where you end up in life once, as you're a Christian, you don't, your purpose is not to get out of that necessarily. That can't be your purpose. Okay, it says this is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called, he should not become uncircumcised, which I don't know how you'll do that, but there's a point he's making here. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called, he should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Now, what he's showing you here is we live a life and we give importance to other things instead of God. And we still do that even worse today. If you really look at it, we kind of put God as an element in our lives, not as the purpose of our lives. Does that make sense? Just he's a piece here and there. But when he's the purpose, all these other things are elementary. You know what I mean? They're meaningless unless they fall in line with God. So that's where he calls you into. And then he says it again in verse 20, each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. So he's basically saying, now some of us, the first one is the place, what he called you in as what you are. This one is where you'll be, like what's going on around you. Could be a job, could be a family situation, whatever it is. He's saying, where he says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. That's his answer. First answer, don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, watch this, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him. The significance of this and why I'm using this in trust, if you notice in all these commands here, he's saying your situation and your place may be undesirable. What he didn't say was, if you do this, then I'll do this. Did y'all notice that? Look at it closely. He did not say, well, as long as you do this, then I'll do this. And now, usually when it's based on us, we think we have some sort of agreement with God when it comes to trust. Well, I'll do this for a little while, God, but after 10 years, I'm going to start complaining. All right, after 15 minutes, I'm going to start complaining. You know, some of us already have in our mind, God, I'll do this for a little while, instead of going however long you want me to. Does this make sense? Trust means I struggle with it, but I trust you. Amen? I have a problem with it, but I trust you. And that's not just in word. It'll show in your action. In other words, if I struggle with a place that I'm in, you'll see me put my effort to get out of that place. That means I don't trust God. Does that make sense? Now, you notice in the slavery one, he says, if you can gain your freedom, do so. He's saying if a door opens and you want to take it, by all means, take it in a bad situation. Like if you're at a job and the job is struggling and God opens the door and you can get another job. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. However, if you consume your days because of how bad your job is to find another job, I mean, taking away from God, you don't trust God. Y'all get this? We base our trust on how we think God should turn out, instead of basing our trust in him despite our situation. Now watch this. In the days of old, this will show you why you should trust in God, something he did with them. In the days of old, God showed man that what he sees isn't all that's there. The reason why they must trust in God. This is the reason. Deuteronomy 29, 2 through 6. He says to the Israelites, your eyes have seen all the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all the land. With your own eyes, those great trials, those miraculous signs, the great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Now, do you notice how he says the Lord has not, but to this day, the Lord has not given? The difference here, we have that. We have the Holy Spirit. So we can see if we look at things spiritually. They didn't have that, he's letting them know. Okay, he's saying, y'all didn't have this, so I'm going to reveal something to you, man, that we would see, and I'll explain it. So he's saying, we have not seen, and I'll explain why we don't see it when we don't. He's saying, Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Watch this. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did your sandals on your feet. You ate no bread, drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord, your God. In other words, they are either in awe of what he did to Pharaoh, or they were complaining on what they went through, not realizing what was not happening. Does that make sense? Okay? He was saying, you didn't see that. You were too busy complaining about your situation. If you would have sent me back to Egypt, he was like, did you notice you had the same shoes for 40 years? Anybody wear the same shoes every day for 40 years? And whoever it is, let me know who makes that brand. Clothes, same clothes, just wear them every day. And this is not hanging up in your closet. Some of you, oh, I have them because you have too many clothes. That's a whole other sermon. But you understand that? No, we're talking about something you wear every single day. Didn't wear out. He's saying, you didn't even notice that. He was like, now, same thing happens with us. We are so consumed with our situation, we miss what he hasn't or has done. Do you understand? There's something he's doing. Does that make sense? And I just have to trust him. Trusting God means completely believing and relying on God and nothing else. That's trust. Completely. Everybody say completely. Completely believing and relying on God and nothing else. Here's the deal. A lot of us trust in God and. Did y'all see what I just did there? All right. We trust in God and. He didn't ask you to add an and to it. And that's where we mess up. Oh, yeah, I trust in God. And I also, where are you going? Why are you adding this in there? See, that's why I always tell y'all to check me. Why? Because I don't want you to trust God and me. All right. Only fools trust anything else other than God. If that hopefully insulted you enough to go, well, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because we have to understand there's nothing or no one here we are to trust other than God. Does that make sense? Including ourselves. Does that make sense? Okay, we are never to trust. That's why he says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all, everybody say all, your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Do you notice what he just showed you there? He told us what to put complete trust in and what to totally take it away from. A lot of us trust in God, some of our heart, and we apply our understanding. So you're good when things work out to the way you like them, but man, you struggle when it doesn't make sense. Amen? And I know this, I mean, just as a pastor, and you hear it in counseling, and you see when people go through things, and they struggle with God. I have no problem if we struggle with God if there's something I didn't understand that his word said. I have yet to hear that in any counseling. I have yet to hear that even in my own life where I struggle with God on something that is in the Bible, maybe that I'm just confused on. All right? No, we usually struggle because it's not fitting my understanding. God, I don't know why you wouldn't give me this. God, I don't understand why you would make me go through this. Even though his Bible explains it, I struggle because I don't like it. the way I understand it. Instead of me going, I understand it this way, so that's meaningless. His word says. Does that make sense? I'm just going to follow what his word says. He says, in all, everybody say all, your ways acknowledge him. How many of us do this? I mean, check him for everything. Everything. See, sometimes we pray for situations. If I said, hey, y'all, we're going to go do some task tomorrow, we'd all go, okay, let's pray about it. That seems so holy and so great. If I just said, hey, y'all, after church, we're going to go home. Let's pray about it. You know, then I'm going to sit down and watch TV. Did we check with God? All right, my clothes I'm going to wear tomorrow, whenever I go to work, whatever. Did you pray about it? Before I drive to work, I think, you know, I'm going to take the same route I usually do. Did you pray about it? Did you acknowledge or check with him? Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Everything. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The reason why a lot of us end up crooked is not some confusing thing. He gave you the answer. Now, there's certain parts in your life you already have figured out as far as you're concerned, right? There's certain things you don't go to God. I've been doing this for how many years, God, right? I told you, working in systems and servers and electronics and networks, there are certain things that come, we just know, like the back of our hand. And then there's other things which are complicated. So the ones that are complicated, I used to pray. Man, simple things, I would just go do it. Until one time a simple thing turned into a disaster. And even when we got done fixing it, because I prayed later, do you understand it? It worked, and it still to this day didn't make sense. And I see that a lot. Something that should have simply worked this way. I've seen the problem many times. I should have still prayed about it. God, give me the ability to. But I already, I got this. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. That was my mentality. I already could take. Instead of, all right, let's pray about it. Let me check what his word says. Trust in him, right? He will make your path straight. The reason why our lives are so crooked is because we make a plan. We try to figure it out. We try to go. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? We do this. We try it. I bet you most of us, if not all of us in here, have planned our lives. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to have kids. We're going to do this. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to, right? Never acknowledged him. We did it and want him to bless it. Right? How many of you had kids? If your kids said, okay, instead of going to bed, I'm going to go to bed at midnight, and I'm going to stay up all day. I probably won't go to school for the rest of the week. I'll eat just sweets and all that. I'm going to tell you to go to the store and buy me what I want. Y'all would accept that, right? Not realizing we do exactly that, right? Raising our children. I want them to be this. Don't want them to grow up to be this. I want them to look like this. Instead of going, God, I'm praying to you. What does your word say on how I'm supposed to raise them? It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's trust. That's true trust. It's a combination of completely in him and completely nothing else. Completely. All right? Even if you add some of him, don't pat yourself on the back. It says doing none of him. You cancel him out the minute you add something else. Amen? Do y'all get this? Okay? And this is where we blow it. Now, only true trust is what allows us to be righteous, believe it or not. Remember, only the righteous are going to heaven. Okay? Now, we by ourselves cannot be righteous. Look at what he says. This is how righteousness works. In Romans 4:4-5, he says, now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift. Now, let me explain this to you, because you're hearing works, and that's what confuses us. It means me and you made a deal. I'm going to do this job. You're going to pay me $40 for this job. That's me doing, me and you made a deal of something we're going to do. And that's, so you're obligated to pay me for the work I've done. That's works. That's me on my own doing it. But when he goes into his next part, however, to the man who does not work but trusts God. Now, if you don't understand the definition of trust, you'll just think, yeah, I believe he'll do it. And you blew it. Because trust, truly trusting in God, and that's why I have C. James 2:14-26, is faith displayed in action. That's called belief. Okay? Faith displayed by works. Okay? Your faith. In other words, what I'm doing could not still pay for what needs to be paid for, but it's me showing him that I trust in him that it will be paid for. Does that make sense? In other words, I owe $1 million. There's nothing I can do to give this $1 million. God's saying, I'll take care of it. Just meet me at my place tomorrow. The me meeting him at his place is showing that I trust him. Did y'all catch that? There's still an action in there, but he told me to meet him. Now, did me meeting him pay for it? No. I still didn't make the $1 million. I'm just trusting in him, so I did what he said. That's a faith works done in through faith. I'm following him, knowing that something I'm doing is not paying for it. So that's why it says, but the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Understand how credit works. I may not have $5,000, right? You get this credit card with $5,000. I walk into the store. Do I have $5,000? No, yes, I do. Somebody say no. Yes, I do. Well, that's a good way to do it in your budget. But yes, you do have $5,000. You got to pay it back. You understand it. But to that store, if they say, hey, this costs $4,000. Oh, I got it. Even though I don't have it, I'm credited as if I have. That's what he means. And the plus side to our credit with God is Jesus pays it off for us. Do y'all get it? All right, so I didn't earn that $5,000. I have it, and that's what the credited to me. So he says, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited. So then I become righteous, which gives me that opening to the door into heaven. Does that make sense? Okay, so trust, the only way this works, if I trust him. My trust will be displayed through my faith in my actions. Everybody with me? Okay, if I don't trust him, you won't see it in my life. Amen. You hear a lot of people speak a lot about God, but their actions show otherwise in our tithes and offerings, in how we raise our children, in how we are with our husband and wives, in how we are with our own bodies, and how we are with our finance, everything. Think about it. If I watch you, or if you watch you, does your life display what the Bible said, or is your life displayed what you're doing, and you just want God to sign off on it? In other words, what you're doing is showing if you truly trust God. Believe it or not. Like I said, you can say it all you want, meaningless to God. Lip service has always been meaningless to God. He wants it displayed. Everybody get this? So now look at this. Now, what keeps us from true trust then? There are three things, or they're going to be bundled into this. First of all, false messages will distort trust. I heard a minister one time just tell people, just trust in him. And they said it that way. So people were able now to redefine and make trust their own way. And they were saying, as long as you do, and he gave some answer. And I'm not even going to go over that answer because it makes people think. But he gave this answer to make people go, oh, I like that. Okay, and that's what they did. Here's the problem. He says in Colossians 2:8, and he starts off with three very important words, see to it. Now it becomes whose responsibility? Ours. All right? That becomes my responsibility that I do what? That no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. He gives two words. Hollow and deceptive. First of all, the hollow means there's no substance. Did you understand that? There's nothing in it. Deceptive means if you're not careful, it'll make sense. In fact, it'll look good. Do y'all get this? You'll go, oh, okay, I like that. He says, make sure you're not taking into that because God is not going to accept when you go, but God, it looked good. It sounded right. That's how some of us are living. We're living in that playing the victim. I tried and it sounded good and it looked. Here's the problem. He's saying, I gave you the answer on how to check. This is where the see to it comes in, which depends on, watch this, human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. You'll say, I know a bunch of other people that are doing it. You'll say, I met this guy and he's brilliant. He told me to do it. You'll say, I seen people do it and it worked instead of, where's that in the Bible? Do y'all see the difference here? There's a lot of stuff even a Christian church does today that looks like it works, but you can't find it in the Bible. Right? But it looks like it works. That's hollow and deceptive. Now, when I answer God, am I going to say, well, God, it worked? And he's going to say, but what did I say? What did I tell you to do? Remember Moses when he told him, speak to the rock? And what did he do? Struck the rock. Did it work? Yes, it did. Water came out. Do y'all understand this? Oh, yeah, it worked. But he was wrong. He said, because you didn't show me as holy. I still gave him their water. And because you didn't show me as holy, he got severely punished. Y'all see this? Please don't get caught up by sight because it works. I hear Christians come all day, but pastor, I did this and this, and it worked. I'm like, but what did the Bible say? So you have to see to it. Think of it this way. Instead of saying how it turned out, say, how am I going to answer God? Does that make sense? Because if your answer is, but God, I know you didn't say it, but your word said, but the action turned out right, I'm still in trouble. Amen? Amen? I remember as a young kid, many times my grandmother would give us instruction. We'd do something else. It worked out. We were still punished. She would always come back to, but what did I say? What did I say? And that was her answer is, no, I don't want to hear anything else about this. What did I say? Right? And if we would just do that with God, our lives would be so much straighter. He'll make our path straight. Amen? But we keep thinking, oh, I got this. Okay? Another thing is sight is extremely deceptive. Proverbs 21:2 says, all, everybody say all. What does that include? Everything. All a man's ways seem right to him. Catch that. All of it, even when it seems wrong, we think we're right in thinking that it's wrong, that we are going to fix it. Right? What we're supposed to live in is, man, I'm so messed up. That's why he says, but the Lord weighs the heart. Think about what he's saying there. He's checking your purpose. Right? He's not looking at what you see, because it was never meant to be based on how you see it. See, you may get a boss at work to say, show me how you planned this and how you put it together and how you got to this, right? Or in math, you're told to show your work. That's all great in math and stuff like that. In life overall, God wants us to say, I trusted in you. That was my life purpose. So your word said this, I did this. Your word said this, I did this. When I hear, but I thought and I did and I figured and it looked, do y'all see the problem? Okay, because my sight, it looks right to me. This is why we struggle with other people, because all my ways seem right to me. Your ways seem distorted. And all your ways seem right to you. My ways seem. So we're going to argue now, because my way is convincingly. And isn't this right? And this is how you should see it. And you're like, yeah, but I don't see it that way. And you're, instead of us both going to God, what does God say about this? Oh, he said we're both wrong. Do y'all get this? You see the problem here, going to him. Thirdly, being envious of others instead of being led by God. Now, this is the most powerful one, why we stop trusting God. And I love how this psalm breaks it down. He first shows what we see, then he shows what we feel because of something, and then he shows how he fixed it. Watch this. First of all, what we see. This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Now, let me stop there for a minute. So you're looking at somebody else's life. You're saying, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. And here's this other person. And they seem relaxed. Life seems to go well. Everything seems to be working out for them. Now, this is how you feel. He says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. How many of you feel that? You look at somebody else and you're like, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. First of all, check that, because usually we're not, okay? But you check that. But let's say you are. You're doing everything that God tells you to, and you're saying, but I'm looking at these other people who are doing nothing you're telling them to, and everything falls into place. Why is this happening? And you're like, I shouldn't be living this way. No more am I following this Bible. It doesn't seem to work, right? It doesn't seem to do what I needed to do. And watch what he says here. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. He's saying, what if I would have said that out loud? Think of me as a pastor. If I came up and said, hey, y'all, I've been praying for how many years? I've been a Christian for this many years. It's not working. Now I just poisoned you. You're like, oh, it doesn't work for the pastor, so it must not be working for me. And if I said, we're going to change things, we're going to do it differently. He's saying, I would have betrayed them. I would have been in trouble. I've been condemned. But y'all see what happens. And how many of us, looking at other things happening in life, we look at it and go, why am I even living this way? Well, the answer should be because he said so. Now, how do I know that answer? Look what he says here. He says, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. In other words, it just made me even more depressed, more frustrated, more angry. He said, when I tried to understand. But watch this. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Now, two things are happening here. One, we don't go to God for instruction. So two, churches stop preaching instruction. Have y'all noticed that? So I'm still left to understand it on my own. I don't really want to hear instruction. That's man's problem. I want to go to church and feel good, enjoy, and praise the Lord. That's what we'll say. Right? Give me an hour or two of songs that I'm going to enjoy. Give me some speech that's going to make me feel good when I go home, but I still got to figure this thing in my life going on. I don't get it. Instead of coming for instruction, which you're not always going to like. He says, until I entered the sanctuary of God. There's a key in there. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're in the sanctuary of God. Do y'all catch that? You may go, and if the message is not of God, the sanctuary is not of God. Did y'all get that? There's instruction that you're supposed to get. He says, then, everybody say then, I understood their final destination. Surely you placed them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasy. You will now, because of what the Bible's telling you, minister to them. You'll feel for them instead of seeing for you. It's a big difference. You may be going through struggles, but there's an answer for your struggles. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the whole entire thing is you're looking at them, and now you'll go, oh, not only do I have to pray to them, I have to minister to them. Instead of going, no, their life's good. They got money. They seem comfortable. They're going to hell. Can I kind of make that any clearer? And did you do anything to save them? Or were you so stuck on you looking at them that you did nothing? You watched them drown. And say, how did they get in the ocean? I wanted to go swimming too. And they got a nice swimsuit on. They have all, and you're missing all of it. And they're dying. And you did nothing to save them. Because you're too busy looking at you. So you see, these are the things that keep us from truly trusting God. See, if God would make everything that it worked out, we wouldn't trust in God. We trust in the outcome. That's why he doesn't make it always work out. To see if we truly trust in him. There's a lot of us that right now are only doing stuff as long as everything keep going well, God, I'm going to serve you. As long as it works out, I'm going to serve. The minute it stops working out, I'm done. I tried. I've met many Christians or professing Christians now, left churches and said, I went to church and it just didn't do it for me. I did my time. God will see I tried. This is not I tried. This is life. But God wants those people weeded out, believe it or not. He only wants those who truly want to follow him. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? He's shaking off the crumbs, unfortunately. Those that are clinging on, no matter how hard you shake, are the ones who truly believe in him. That's why many are going to go to heaven. It's not because of him. It's because of our choice. So how do we always living in true trust? How do we do it? Well, we're going to show how the word shows us living in true trust requires the following. And then we're going to give you an example of true trust shown in the Bible. Okay, first of all, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it says, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Where does that come from? It's talking about love. Now, if you have the wrong definition of love, you would miss this. If you had your own definition of love, you're not going to trust. Here's the problem. True trust, I don't remember if we did a sermon on it or a Bible study, but if you remember, it was a sermon or a Bible study on trust. And if you notice, Bible makes clear we're only supposed to trust God. If you live in true love, you'll always trust God. In other words, I won't have to try to trust God. I'll trust God automatically. How does that work? Because love, agape love, look what it says. It lets us know that in agape love, and we're going to see this a little later, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Isn't that what the word says? He's not saying, in order to show me you love me, do what I command. He's like, if you want to know if you love me or not, how's your life? Are you doing what I tell you? Then you love me. Are you not? Then you don't. Did y'all get that? In other words, if I find myself living by the Bible completely, then I love God. If I'm not, then I don't. I don't care how much I say it. I can write a card and send it to them. Do y'all get it? You know what I mean? I can tell people, I can write a poem and say how much I love God. If my life shows otherwise, then I don't. Y'all with me? You'll catch that, okay? Always live with the correct focus. Always live with the correct focus. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. On your papers, I would highlight or circle the word not. Because a lot of us live by faith as we live by sight. Live by faith and by sight. If you like it or not, because you'll hear people make comments, and it's easy if you made a comment of, can you show me in the Bible where it says how I deal with this? But you'll usually hear, I'm doing this and I'm struggling because of what I'm seeing or what I'm feeling or what I'm hearing or where I'm going. Everybody with me? Do y'all get this? So he says, we live by faith, not by sight. So the first part of it is, remember, faith is exactly what God says, completely trusting in God, and it'll be shown if I am or not. That's where James 2 comes in. James 2 shows you if you really have faith, it will be displayed. I won't go, I have faith in God, and be a husband that's outside of what God says. I won't say, I really have faith in God, and be a father that's outside of what God says. Y'all see where I'm going with this? These are the things that's going to show it. If I really have faith in God, it will be shown in everything that I do. What I do will be displayed from what his word says. Not this Keith made up thing. It'll be what God says. Okay? Not my sight of, I was a father this way, and it worked. What do I say to God when he goes, what did I say? Do y'all get this? What did I say? If I lived in reverence or fear of God, I would go, man, I got to answer to God about this. When I don't live in reverence to God, well, I did what I thought best. Do y'all see the problem? Okay? And that's a dangerous thing. Okay? Very dangerous for us. Thirdly, make this your main true statement. Okay? Your main true statement. Romans 8, 28. And we know. Now, first of all, every Christian should know this. That's why he starts off with we know. If you don't know this, you know it now. Okay? And we know that in how many things? All things. What does that include? Everything. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Well, how about, you know, Christian George down the street where everything's crashing around him, people are dying, his money's not going right. What about him? That's all, and that's for everybody that loves him. Did y'all get this? He was like, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, please stop looking at your situation and measuring your situation on what God is doing. God is working with you through hard times. God is working with you through great times. Here's the deal. By faith, and the only reason why I know this is what the Bible tells me, and because I'm looking through spiritual eyes, not the other eyes. Those who have it going good are actually having a harder time than those who are going through trials. Think about that. Those who have it good, because you'll usually live in your good or desire. God allows those to be rich, not to be rich, not to enjoy. Okay, even though he does everything for our enjoyment, but for him. Just like he gives those who are not rich, same thing, he did it for him. Remember what we read in the beginning? As responsible to God. His only question to you is, okay, so how did you do? Well, God, you said, so I did. That better be our answer. If my answer was, I was rich. I'm good. I didn't need anything. Everything worked out for me. Everything fell into place. God's going, well, you didn't check my word? No, I didn't need to. And if y'all know where I'm getting that from, read Revelations. Laodicean church said, we got this. We did this. Go help one of those other churches. He said, oh, man, you guys are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and I'm about to spit you out. He was angry with them because in their rich, comfortable comfort, they rejected God. They're in a worse way. So sometimes when you look at somebody else and they seem comfortable and things are going well, pray for them. Okay? Definitely pray for the ones going through the trial. But the ones going through the trial, the one going, God, okay, Pastor, can you help me out in the Bible? I have yet to have somebody going, I'm extremely comfortable. Things are going well. Show me in the Bible why that is. Why is that happening? Can you pray for me? Have you ever heard that? Do y'all get this? Things just fall into place for me. Things are happening for me. Why is God doing this to me? We don't ask that because he might change if I... Not realizing you are still responsible in that. And that's why he says, and we know that in all things. So when you go through a very desirable time, it's the same thing as going through a very trying time. He's working you. And if you don't work, get the work out of it. Do y'all get this? All right? So you'll praise God in it. He's saying, he's making that very clear. And like I said earlier in John 14, 15, it only works for those who love him. First, those who don't love him, you're in trouble anyway. Okay? Just make that clear. Remember, only those who love him. All right. You cannot do with God or live with God. You can't be a Christian without loving God. You have to. Remember, he says, without that element of love, it makes everything meaningless. Right. It's like not adding a certain thing to a cake. Then it's not a cake. I don't care how much you bake it, whatever else you do. If you don't add this one ingredient, and love is that ingredient that makes the thing what it's supposed to be. If that element is missing, Christian without love is not a Christian, is what he's saying. Right. All right. All right. And he's showing that. And he's saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Can't make it any clearer. So if you want to know, hey, do I have that ingredient? Are you doing what the Bible says? Well, I don't even read the Bible. Do I need to answer your question? Do y'all catch that? Now, some of us go through life. I'm a Christian. Give me a title. But I'm not looking at the word. And then those who do look at the word, we go, amen. And we follow what it says. But when I leave out here, okay, I'm good. I'm done. Because I have this plan and it seems to work out. And you don't love them. And know all things aren't working out for you. You're going through a slide and whatever happens, happens. Do y'all get this? Please be very careful on how things look in people's life. Fourthly, recognize God knows times are going to be troubling, so he gave us the ability not to be troubled through real trust. Understand, when he says, watch what he says here. He was like, in John 14:1, do not let, everybody say let. That means he gave all of us the ability to not let what? Your hearts be troubled. Remember, your heart is your purpose, right? So when I go through trying times, if I go, because I'm going through this rough time, now I'm going to do this. I've seen, once again, professing Christians do things based off of situations, off circumstances, off of health, but not off of God. That means you allowed your heart to be troubled, right? I'm not the Christian I used to be because people get on my nerves. Where in the Bible does it say, if people get on your nerves, don't listen to God? But we do it. I've seen people pull away from other Christians because of other Christians. It's not what the Bible tells me. It says, bear with one another. Well, is that song Count Me Out? Is that what happens? Okay. I thought one of those award things where it makes you say, your time is done, Pastor. Go down and sit down. I was like, thank you for this award. Thanks. All right, never mind. All right, but do you understand it? But y'all get this? In other words, our trust in God is, I'm still going to love you even though you're getting on my nerves because my nerves play no part in this. Too many Christians' nerves play a part in it. I see us readjusting as Christians, thinking we're getting credit from God. God understands those people get on your nerves. He died for those people that get on your nerves. And your nerves, he died for you. Because understand, you get on people's nerves too. So he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. What's the answer? Trust in God. Trust also in me. In other words, just do what he says. Not do what he says and everything will work out the way you want. That's not what he said. Please read that. He just said, trust in God. Trust also in me. Why did he add the trust also in me? To let you know I am God. And he's also what? The word. Right? So he's saying, just do what it says. But God, I'm doing this and things keep going. Just do what it says. Trust me. Just do what it says. Make your purpose me. Just do what it says. I keep ministering to this person and he keeps doing. Just do what it says. Do y'all get this? The only ones he's going to say well done to is not the ones on the outcome. He's not going to go, man, you saved all those people because you went to the people that can be saved. He's going to say the one that kept doing what the word said. Did y'all catch that? All right? Only those. He was like, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Fifthly, we need to pray for godly comforts while we live in trust. God understands that living in trust is not always comfortable, not always pleasant. He knows that. That's why this prayer in Romans 4:15-13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Now think about what it's saying there. It's saying, in trusting in him, sometimes it's not going to feel peaceful. It's not going to feel joyful. And that's what many of us are looking for, a feeling. Right? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to come over and you feel better? That's the problem. We keep living for our feelings. Our feelings have to be put aside. I live spiritually in him, not on how I feel. All right. Don't be condemned by your feelings or lack thereof. He's saying that we have to make sure that we are asking him for the joy we need and for the peace we need. It says, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? He's saying, so you get the real hope and the real joy, and whatever situation he puts you in, you can be like Stephen. As he's getting stoned by these people who hate him, he's asking God for forgiveness for them. We don't like when somebody just gets on our nerves. We're not praying for him. God, you know, forgive them. We're like, I have a couple of things I want to pray for you right now. Let me walk away from you before I get angry. Don't we do that? Let me walk away from before, because it becomes about me, how I feel. But in his, he was so focused on God, he kept looking at them going, wow, forgive him, God, please don't. Do y'all see the love, the godly love? Okay, he had godly peace, state of mind, that his emotions didn't get in the way, that he trusted in God. Finally, know there is a promise to those that trust in God. Here's the promise. Watch this. Romans 10:11. As scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now think about that for a minute. Remember I said every definition, get it out of God. Because our version of shame is not the true version of shame. Do y'all get this? What you may think is a shame, God is showing us, no, there's certain things that we should think is a shame. Remember that verse in the Bible that talks about those who are enemies to the cross of Christ? And one of them, it says their glory is their shame. Their glory is their, there's some young men, and they like the title of being, now watch this, a pimp. Y'all heard that. I know we all heard that. And they'll say it, they'll wear it proudly. I'm a pimp. Seriously. Right? And they think, oh man, that's my title. I'm a gangster. Amen? And they should be ashamed of that. Do y'all catch this? Okay? So here's the deal. As a Christian, you're going to do things. They may call you corny. Soft. Amen? Weak. And you go, amen. That's how it should be. Did y'all catch that? Amen? Think about the things we accept as, because the world says, if you're this, you're the man, right? We get attracted to those things. But the Bible tells me what I'm supposed to be. The world frowns upon it. He was like, trust in me, true shame you won't be in. Because the real shame is those people meet the God. He's not going, all the pimps come to the front. Oh, if he does, he's saying you're going to go somewhere. Do y'all get this? Come on. All right? It may seem funny, but it's the truth. Think in our lives what things we title and we give all this to instead of we should go, that's a shame. Right? Okay? And I just hit on the men there. I'll leave it alone because it's Mother's Day. I won't beat up the women on that. Amen? So now, here's a great example of trust. A great example of trust. Watch this. And this is in the Old Testament. They didn't have access to the Holy Spirit like we do. Now watch this. There's a couple of characteristics, especially one I want to point out in this access of trust. First of all, it says in Daniel 3:15-18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, to set this up for you, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, you must bow down when the music plays. Okay? I mean, he said it's simple. Bow down when the music plays. A lot of us today don't realize we're bound down to what the world said. Well, it's what everybody else does. And I'm not talking about the basic things within God, he says. We're doing stuff that the world does against God. And they were like, we are excellent citizens until you tell us to go against God. So he said, we're going to play the music again, and we're going to give you all a chance. And they stopped him, and that's what they said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. They're basically like, no, you don't have to play the music again because we're not going to do it. Now watch this. That's their first thing. We don't have to defend ourselves because the Bible says. Did y'all catch that? No, we don't have to go over this again. I'm doing what the Bible says. So if you have to fire me, fire me. If you have to leave me, leave me. If you'll be mad at me, mad at me. If you have to kill me, kill me. Did y'all catch that? That's the first phase. They're like, no, there's no argument. I'm not going to work around this. God said, I will do. Secondly, he says, if we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve, here's the second part of trust, is able to save us from it. Everybody say able. Okay, did y'all catch it? So now he's able. So I'm trusting in him that if he wanted to get me out of this, he could. And they must have gotten the word because he said, and he will rescue us from your hand. Now, this is not for everybody to speak, that second one. It's only if you get clear, God's saying he's going to do something. Please be careful. Some of those people say it all the time. God's going to do this. And God never said he was going to. All right. Please don't be caught in that. That's very dangerous. There's times he's going to give you a vision, times he's going to give you an understanding of something going to happen. But don't be one of those who puts an answer to God where God did not say. Okay? Very dangerous. It says, but he says he will rescue from her hand. But watch this. Here is the most strongest element of trust. The most strongest element of trust. O king, verse 18, but even if he does not, that's trust. Even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. How many of us are, even if he doesn't, I'm still going to? How many of us are those, though he slay me, I will still trust in him? How many of us are have that mentality? You know what? I'm living for God because he said so. But how many of us are those, I'm tired. I did what you told me to, and you didn't do this, so I'm not going to. What if Joseph said, I'm going to start a prison riot because I've been here too long and I didn't do anything wrong? I think all of you would understand. Oh, I understand, Joseph. Put me in jail, and I did exactly what he told me to. Right? Think of the alternative. He could have said, okay, I'm going to be with Pharaoh's wife. We'll keep it quiet. We won't talk about it. I'm not going to jail. Everything is good. I'm still going to be in second place. You see where I'm going with this? How many of us compromise because it looks like it'll work out better? How many of you go, life's about to take a turn. I'm about to lose my job. I'm about to lose some friends. People are about to be angry with me. I'm about to die. But I trust you. Do y'all get this? Let us adjust our lives. Relook at how things are and truly trust in God. Amen? All right.